message is dreams, visitations, visions. People have taken visions and dreams and visitations and hypnosis to sometimes excuse me, way out of proportion. The charismatic movement believes that God is talking to their hearts every day and has more revelations, and they prophesy and so on and so forth. But they say that their prophecies aren't over more than 20% accurate. God's prophecies are 100% accurate. In the Old Testament, the test of a prophet was, if he said something and it didn't come to be, what was the penalty for him giving a false prophecy?
Death.
Now, if in the charismatic movement, in the Catholic Church, or wherever, Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, if they had a prophecy and it didn't come about, the constituents of those groups should cut the throats of those false prophets. We know that they have been in Mormonism. Today, hardly any Mormon that knows anything about Joseph Smith realizes that Joseph Smith was a con artist and a sham. But they like their church because it is family-oriented, and that's all right. Family-oriented, but they need to be knowing who Jesus Christ is. Mormonism's problem is with God. They have such a displaced, weird, corrupted idea of God that it's hard to reach them because they believe that they're reincarnated souls and that somebody in heaven is having cohabiting with their wives and bringing forth these spiritual children all over the earth. And they plan, every Mormon man plans on starting his own universe. That's why they have so many wives. Charles Taze Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witness, he made prophecies that the Lord was coming back in 1970s. I mean, those people sold everything they had. They went door to door telling them everything. And 1975 was going to be the end of the world. Didn't happen. I know some of the Jehovah's Witnesses that left the group after that. But they had all kinds of excuses why it didn't happen. Harold Camping, several years ago, said that the world was going to come to an end. And this is about four times that he said the world was going to come to an end. It didn't. Now, according to the rules in the Bible, they should have killed the man. Of course, he died of old age. Mary Ellen White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventists, prophesied that the world was going to come to an end, and that the Antichrist was on the throne, and that the mark of the beast was going to church on Sunday. Indeed, the Sabbath is Saturday. It's not Sunday. The Catholic Church did change the Sabbath. Constantine changed the Sabbaths from Saturday to Sunday. That's true. But the early churches went to church every day, not just on Sunday. They communed with each other every day, and they preached the Bible every day. And they had to live in a kind of a communist society because they were being killed. Wherever they went, they hid out. Either Islam or Catholicism was trying to kill them, one or the other. Now we go back to the Bible. And what does the Bible say about prophecies? If the prophet speaks the truth, believe him. Now we're going to go back into a biblical dream and prophecy. Real, valid prophecies, valid dreams. You go into charismatic churches today and somebody will have a message. They'll get up and they'll talk in tongues, so-called, and then they'll interpret and all of this. The accuracy of that is very nil. But if it didn't come about. They have rules. If your preacher gets up and says this and it doesn't come about, this prophet, kill him. Now, I don't know any of those churches that are carrying out these rules of God. Do you? How many preachers have been killed? They didn't kill Harold Camping over his prophecies. Now let's go back to a true prophet of God. His name was Joseph. He was one of Jacob's sons. He was his favorite son. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Actually, what it says, he's an Egyptian eunuch. Potiphar was a eunuch. Almost all of these officers and all of the people that were of high rank in many of these early societies were eunuchs. In other words, they had been castrated. And they would not, and it made them not want to get the king's wife, so to speak, or whatever. The women were safe around these officials. Remember, Candace had a eunuch that Philip there in the book of Acts met there on the road, and he preached the gospel to him, and he was saved. He was a eunuch, but he was a treasurer of this woman, Candace, which was a very powerful queen, so to speak. Now, this man's a eunuch, and he's a captain of the bodyguard, and he brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down into Egypt. Now, Jacob's brothers wanted to kill him. They hated him. He had dreams, and he told them these dreams, and they hated him, first of all, because his father loved him. Now, Jacob only wanted one wife, and that was Rachel. And that was Rachel. Rachel had two children. She had Joseph and she had Benjamin. Those children were the ones he loved the most, because this is from the woman that he loved the most. The other women were pawned off onto him, and he had children by them, but the woman he loved was Rachel. And Rachel had died, and so Joseph was all he had. And he just made over him, he was going to be the heir, and he made special clothing for him for protection, so-called, and also to show that he was the heir of his family. And the brothers hated him. And the Lord was with Joseph. So he became successful. Now the word Joseph means unstoppable. It means to increase. It means to prosper. He would not fail. Unfailing. That's what Joseph means. That's what his name means. And became successful and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him. How the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Everything that he was over prospered. This Joseph, his main name needs to prosper. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he became his personal servant. And not only his personal servant, but he was his overseer of all that he had. Made him overseer over all his house and all that he owned, and he put him in charge of everything, and the man just sat back and trusted Joseph. Isn't that nice? Bob, did you ever have a business where you had somebody that you could trust with them? Marilyn, you trusted your sister. You trusted her. You worked together.
Yeah.
We have people that we can trust and people that we can't trust. He put over everything that he had in his charge, all of his wealth. And it came about from the time that he made an overseer in his house that all that he owned, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph, for Joseph's sake, so that the Lord's blessing was upon all and everything that he owned in the house and even out in the fields. Every investment he had increased. So he left everything he owned to Joseph's charge, and around he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was a very handsome man. The book of Jasher says that in the renown of Joseph's beauty and handsome, and so his he was like a movie star among these people. He was like a Clark Gable, Rudolph Valentino. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire upon Joseph, and she said, "Come and have sex with me. Come and lay down with me. Come and let's go to bed." Now, Potiphar's wife, he had her for decoration because he was a eunuch. So the woman had sexual aspirations for Joseph because he's the most handsome man in the land. His wife was not faithful to him. Potiphar's wife was not faithful. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me around, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put me over all that he owns in the house and in the field both. I'm over all of his field hands. I'm over all of his servants. I'm over everything. And by the way, I'm over you too." Now, Joseph was not a eunuch. "There is no one greater in his house than I am, and he has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God and my master? How can I do this?" And it came about, as he spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or with her. Now, by the way, her name is Zilpah. Zilpah. In history, that's her name, Zilpah, or Zelophehad. In the book of Jasher, in chapter 424, it talks about this, what's going on. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work there, probably book work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. Nobody was there in the house. And so Zilpah she caught him by his garment, saying, "Come and lie with me." And he slipped out of his clothes. She had a hold of his clothes. He just slipped out of it. Now, by the way, clothes back then were wrappers. You know what a wrapper is? You go in the Middle East today and they're wrapped up. They just wrap their clothes around them. Okay? You've been there, Bob. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So she grabbed his cloak, his wrapper, and he just slipped out of it. And she caught him by his garment, "Come and lie with me," and he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside away from her. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of the household, the guards of the household now. Now, Joseph's over the guards, but now she's going to make some false accusations against Joseph. And she said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us, to make fun of us. And he came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed." Now she's lying, isn't she? But what is this? This is what we call a scorned woman. A woman that's been insulted, so what do women do when they get insulted? They'll kill you. She wants him dead. "If I can't have him, I want him dead." That was her idea. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside. And she left his garment beside her until her master came home. Her husband came home. Now, let me tell you a little bit something about this husband. This husband doesn't believe her. He doesn't believe this woman. Let's see what happens now. Then she spoke to him with these words, and the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came to me and to make sport of me, to make love to me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and he fled outside. Now, Potiphar was actually the chief executioner. It said that he was a chief bodyguard, but he's the chief executioner. What do executioners do?
They chop your head off.
They kill people. Now, they take people out, they hang them, they take people out, and they torture them. They basically somewhat kind of crucify them, hang them up out there, and let them die hung. They hang them up by their hands until they're dead, hang them upside down. They did all kinds of stuff to them. They hang them out there and let the vultures eat their flesh while they're still alive. Now, this guy is a killer. Potiphar is an executioner. He's used to killing people every day, or very often anyway. He left his garment and he fled. Now, it came about when his master heard these words of his wife, which he spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned. His anger burned against her. He didn't believe her. He did not believe her. But he had to do something. All of these people around here saying this guy molested your wife. So he has to do something. So Joseph's master took him and put him in the jail. He didn't go out there and hang him up out there for the vulture to eat him or whatever. He puts him in the jail because he knows one thing. This God is with this man. If I put him in jail, we're going to find out how guilty he really was. He put him in jail. He put him in prison. Now Joseph is over all of this man's house. This man has become very wealthy. And he's got a woman. Of course, he cannot satisfy his woman's lust because he's a eunuch. And so she picks on Joseph. Now, how many other affairs had she had besides that? I do not know. Neither do any of us. She was a pretty woman too. And a pretty woman with an appetite that her husband could not satisfy. So Joseph's master took him and put him in the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. He wasn't put out there. He didn't have his head chopped off. He wasn't cut in pieces. He wasn't skinned and alive. Hung upside down for the vultures to eat? No. Because he didn't believe his wife, but he had to do something. So he trusts God to take care of Joseph. He puts him in jail. And what happens to Joseph in jail? Let's look and see what happens there. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer, the warden of the prison. In the movie Cimarron Kid, Audie Murphy, you know who Audie Murphy was?
Yeah.
You know, you were in World War II, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the oldest, or one of the only surviving World War II soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You fought for Hungary, didn't you?
I was in Germany.
In Germany.
Not in Hungary.
No, but I mean, you were...
America never came to Hungary.
You were from what company? Czechoslovakia or Hungary?
No. Czechoslovakia is up here. Hungary is here.
Uh-huh.
Poland is up here.
Uh-huh.
Romania here. Bulgaria here. Okay?
Yeah.
So we were Austria for the west. Then north was Czechoslovakia. Then further, we were also partially bordered with Ukraine.
Yes.
And that part of it, of the Hungary, was back to Ukraine and Polish. A lot of mixture. People on the past many centuries, okay?
Yeah.
But during the revolution, our Hungary and all the other, it was basically Czechoslovak, Hungary, and Austria, and all that. So.
They were fighting the Germans, in other words.
No, we were on the German side. Because
they were on the German side.
The first war, when the Habsburg Empire broke up, hungry. They forced us. We lost 75% of our country.
Oh, boy.
75, I can prove it to you.
So you were inscripted into the army at 13?
Yeah, over there, yeah. I was conscripted. Yeah, it was, everybody go to the army, yes.
Yeah. And you were 13 years old?
No. I was, when I went to the army, I was 17.
17.
Volunteered, I should have next year, but I volunteered a year earlier so I could get it done, and I was there 3 years.
Yeah. Well, you know who Otto Murphy was, didn't you?
Yes, I do know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Movies, yes.
That was the most decorated hero,
yes,
in the American Army.
Yes.
Everybody knew him. They were afraid wherever he was. Because he was like Joseph. He was unconquerable.
Yeah.
Well, one time, there's a movie. Now, I owned Otto Murphy's pistol, the one that Gary Cooper gave to him. And I looked at all of Otto Murphy's movies, and then the Cimarron Kid there, he's playing Bill Doolin, and he's in prison, and the warden comes there. And the warden gets him out of prison in this movie. And in this movie, Otto Murphy has his pistol that Gary Cooper had given to him. And the warden says, here's your gun. They're going to let him go out. He's going to go to work in the Cimarron strip. And that pistol comes across the screen, and it sees those great big pearl handles with Otto Murphy's form to his hand. It had his finger grooves in it. And the warden says, you know what? He started to hand that pistol to Otto Murphy. He said, you know what? I'd like to keep this as a memento. And Otto Murphy said, go right ahead. And it went across the screen, and he got to keep this pistol. The warden has a lot to do with certain prisoners, doesn't it? In real life now, this was a warden of this prison. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph charge all the prisoners who were in jail so that they, whatsoever they had done, they were responsible to him for it. So now he becomes the warden of the prison. Not the criminal, so to speak, but the warden. Potiphar knew what he was doing. Now the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And there came about, after these things, the cupbearer and the baker of the king offended the Lord, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh means the man in the big house. That's what Pharaoh means. Pharaoh means the man in the big house, the big palace. You know, he lived in the palace. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials and the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, the chief executioner, in the jail in the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement in the same time in the same place. Then the cupbearer, the butler, and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, they both had a dream. They had dreams. Now, God was the author of these dreams. When you're in a dream state, you're in a hypnotic state. You're in hypnosis. The word hypnose, they were in a dream. Hypnose, that's the Greek word for it. And the same night, each one of them with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. And when Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were sad, they were scared, they were troubled, they were out of their senses. And he asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in the master's house, why are your faces, why are you so scared? I see fear in your eyes, I see fear in your faces. You can tell when somebody's afraid, can't you? Mm-hmm. You've been seeing people afraid. And they said to him, we have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God alone? Tell your dreams to me, please. So the chief cupbearer told his dream of Joseph, and said to him, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me. a grapevine. Okay? You don't have any grapevines down there, do you, Bob, on your place yet?
No.
Yeah. And the vine had three branches. And it was budding, and its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Fast. Now, Marilyn had a dream last night, yesterday afternoon, actually. She dreamed that she was down there in Pumpkin Center, down there in the Central Valley, and that she was lost, and she couldn't find me, and she was wandering, and all of a sudden, that's flat ground out there, but she was going up and down hills and all over the place, and she couldn't find me. And she was real hungry. And she was sleeping in this dream, and she woke up, and she saw the walls around her, and wow, and you know what the first thing she did? Run and look for me. And then everything was okay. Now, dreams can really bother you. I've seen Marilyn wake up from dreams crying and just absolutely in horrible post-traumatic stress situation, just crying and crying. I've seen her cry all night long. Dreams can be horrible. Many dreams, you're about to get killed and your gun won't work, your knife won't work, you try to kill the person. This is what you call post-traumatic stress. It don't work. Now Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and I took the grapes and I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into the Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore all that you have in your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand, according to your own former custom when you were his butler. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you. And please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. Now, he was a boss, but he wanted to be out of there. And God was going to get him out of there. God's unpreventable progress and His eternal purpose. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Even here I have done nothing that should have put me in this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, I saw in my dream, behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. 3 baskets of white bread. White bread is really good bread, you know, because that was the rich people's bread. Other stuff was brown bread or barley. In the top of the basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Now this is not good news. This is not good news. Then Joseph answered and said, this interpretation, the 3 baskets are 3 days. This is not a good news for this man. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh off of you. They're going to be eating the flesh off of you, the birds, the vultures. Thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the head of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler to his office, and he put the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hung the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This is a valid dream from God. Every valid dream from God comes true. It comes 100% true. Now, Bob, you've had dreams in your life.
Yeah, occasionally, yes.
Yeah. Sometimes we remember.
Yeah. Sometimes come in a couple of weeks, maybe at the same location almost every time.
Yeah.
And then... lately I don't dream, but I remember certain dreams.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting, many of them, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we have repeated dreams over and over and over and over again. It's something in our conscious. But these dreams are not coming from God. They're dreams. Many people want direct communication with God. Now we do. We pray to God. Once you have asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and save your soul, you are His son forever. And we have a right to talk to Him. And when we pray to Him, we have constant and immediate access to God. But people want more than that. The Bible is God's book. It is the book. It is the book that we have all the instruction manual. Bob, when you went to school, you went to college, and you learned about electronics and everything, you had a textbook, didn't you?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you had textbooks.
Yeah.
And if you followed the rules and the textbook, it came about.
Yeah.
Ohm's law, whatever. You know, it's true, isn't it? This book is true. If we do what this book says, we will have eternal life. And it says if we call upon the name of the Lord and asking Him to forgive us of our sins, that we will have eternal life. That we are saved at that moment. That's God's rules. Now out there, and this message is going to go all over the world. God takes care of His people. God took care of Joseph. This book, the book of Genesis, is written for our instruction. Paul said in the New Testament, the Old Testament was written in parables, and so for our enlightenment and our encouragement are in our instruction. And this is it. The dreams that Joseph had and the dreams that those that he interpreted were true dreams sent from God. When Paul the Apostle wrote the books of the New Testament he wrote, it was a message from God. When Peter wrote it, when Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote it, and John wrote it, it was a message from God that we can depend upon, and it's a message that is tried and true. All of the prophecies either have come true or shall come true. And we see the world like that. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for this message from Your Word with encouragement and love and Your perseverance to take care of us. Father, forgive us where we fail You, and help us to glorify You this day. For